Let's start. We've seen ugly repetition that going over and over and over throughout this book. Israel is at the place where they are serving God and following God. And they start to slip away from God and they're doing their own thing, sin against God, and start to worship different God other than God. One Jehovah God, which the other God is not God at all. Now, because of that, God wants to teach them lessons, so that he allowed them to become slaves of other nations. When they become a slave of other nations, sometimes they cry out to God right away, and sometimes they delay. Especially last one, the Philistine, it took 40 years for them to start to out that hurt, that attitude. It becomes a vicious cycle over and over. I draw the chart to you guys at the beginning. And that happened for seven times. This is seven times that we're finding. And once they cry out to God, and of course, God in mercy and love, he extended his hand and bring the judge into their lives. And through that judge, he delivered the people of Israel back to his favor. Then what? They start to slide down again. Some biblical scholars believe that chapter 17 and chapter 18 is not supposed to be in this area chronologically. It's supposed to be before the Samson. The reason is, when we study the Samson, remember that the Philistines were not allowing the Israeli people to have any weapon. Also, that is backed by the 1 Samuel. When the King Saul was trying to attack a Philistine, there was only two swords available. Remember that? And one belonged to King Saul, and the second one belonged to Jonathan, his son. In the entire army, they only had two swords. The reason is because the Philistine people systematically eliminated all the metallic weapons. So for this Danonite to attack the people up in Sidonian with the edge weapons, they couldn't possibly in the time of a Philistine occupation. So am I going to make a big deal out of it? No, I've just said it, that's enough. There's three things requires for every nation to be in the history of mankind to destroy. It goes down in this order. First thing is spiritual apostasy. In other words, spiritually they do nothing. God's illustration is so great. Spirituality and the marriage is almost a parallel line. How to backslide? Don't do anything in your walk with Christ. How to destroy your marriage? Don't do anything. Then your marriage will go down the drain. I made this illustration before. Walking with Christ and keeping the marriage going is like riding a bicycle on the uphill. You have to constantly work at it, otherwise it slides down. That's something we have to work hard. These people of Israel, and the rest of the nations around the world in human history, they had one thing in common whenever the nation is destroyed. First start with the spiritual apostasy. They walked away from God. Second thing, that spiritual apostasy will result in moral decay. The things used to be bad, the things used to be right, become that hazy and become falling into gray line. The one used to be bad is no longer bad. The one used to be right and absolute right become, depends on who you ask, become relative. That moral decay will bring another result, political collapse. Because there's no clear distinction between right and wrong, of course, bad wins in the political realm, and those bad people will drive the rest of the nation to the ground. Good example, Rome. Another good example, Greece. and Germany, if I may say, Nazis, the Third Reich. So start with the spiritual apostasy and moral decay and political collapse. Deterioration begins in the individual heart and in the church, and then at home, and then society, and of course government gets in. This happened in every human history, every nation that collapsed. And guess where America is? Third stage, political collapse. How, you may say, how can you say moral decay has already happened? Do I need to remind you where we are? Okay. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your blessing upon the food, and upon the food that we are about to take, spiritual food. And we are asking your Holy Spirit upon us that we may expound your word and let the word become nourishment to our spiritual body. Let us learn from these people's mistakes so we may not get into the same mistake. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now that there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me, I took it. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, and his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son, to make a carved image and molded image now, therefore I will return it to you. Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took the 200 shekels of silver and gave it to the silversmith, and he made it into the carved image and molded image. And they were in the house of Micah, and the man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols. He consecrated one of his sons, and who became his priest. Next verse, would you underline, please? In those days there were no kings in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. As I said before, God established three institutions in the society. Number one is home. Number two is church. Number three is government. When God officiated the wedding, first wedding of mankind between Adam and Eve, he created the foundation of a social structure. That is a basic structure. When foundation crumbles, rest of them crumbles. So it is no wonder why the devil concentrates his effort against mankind in the bottom line foundation, the family, marriage. When this is shaken, everything falls apart. It's after the family crumbled down, the rest of them will come down in a matter of time. The name Micah means, you might want to jot it down, who is like Jehovah. It's a great name, Micah, who is like Jehovah. But this man never lived up to his name. He never honored God. He had a family, and his wife never mentioned. And obviously, he was living with his mommy, and his mommy is wealthy. And this extended family is common during that time, and still common in the Middle East. By the fallen nature, man wants to make God into some sort of image, so that he can worship that image. Nothing wrong is, we've seen the pictures of the God, Jesus, not God, let me rephrase that. We've seen this, you know, painting or sculpture of the Jesus. Is it wrong? No, absolutely not. Some people can sing, some people can write a song, some people can write a poem. Some people are gifted with the drawing capability, sculpturing capability, so they could make the image. However, it's one thing to make an image, one thing to draw the image, but it's another thing to start to worship that image. You follow me? Nothing wrong with the painting, nothing wrong with the sculpture, but once you start to worship that image, it's a different story. Many religious people carve their own concept of God or draw the concept of God and declare that that is God of Bible. See, it takes effort and obedient heart to understand who God is from the Word of God. Let me repeat one more time. It takes an obedient heart and effort to understand who God is from the Bible and accept His way over ours. When they claim the loving God, well, I'm going sideways a little bit, so I'll bring it back to you. When the people said loving God will not discard people, those are sinners, and this loving God, merciful God, will accept them. That is true. God is God of mercy, God is God of love, God is God of grace. He will accept them when they come to God with a genuine heart to ask God to forgive, for forgiveness. God will forgive them, God will restore them. But if they say, I want you to just forgive me, but I'm going to continue my sin, God will say no, because they only know the one side of God. God of love, God of grace, God of mercy, but same time, there's the other side, God of righteousness, God of holiness. God will not wink at our sin. God will not say, okay, you can go on with your sinful life. He will correct us no matter what. Micah did everything he could to set up the rival religion within the Israel. Where was the tabernacle at this point? Shiloh, on the south side. He was setting his own temple, his own shrine, and where he could worship these idols. Okay, he has beautiful ephod and attractive garment, attractive the idols in his shrine. But that was not to please God. That was to please him. It was a man-made religion, nothing more than man-made religion. It's not something for God, to worship God. The path of a man-pleasing religion is common in any religion other than Christianity. Because Micah and his family did not submit to the authority of God's word, what the God's law given to the Moses and his priest, he is doing his own thing, and there's a lot of confusion. See, in their home, remember, he stole 1,100 shekels of silver from his mother. What did the mother do? She should have put them over her knee and beat the snot out of that kid. Snot. But instead of that, I will give you this idol. I became a brat. Now, this man, instead of turning his money to God and worshiping God, he got an idol and he started having idol worship within his own shrine. Same thing happens in America. Money becomes the object of our worship. A lot of people worship their money. And that's the only thing that matters to them. Money become a god and a family worship, and children steal from their parents and they get by. And family honors is unknown, and God is also unknown within the rank of family. The television provides all the images they want to worship. What am I talking about? No other time in human history, especially in America, and America pretty much pollute the world. Nowadays, the actors and actresses on silver screen are literally, they became gods and goddesses. Whatever they say, you see on anywhere. To be honest with you, I'm so sick and tired of the woman with the fat lips. Yeah, her and Brad Pitt. Every time I turn around, I see that mugshot. And then every time I turn around, Ben Affleck and whatever the other person's name, they literally worship whatever they do. Where is God? In the back seat somewhere, when the things go wrong, we'll call you. Until then, don't call us. Verse 6, I ask you on the line, it shows what kind of mindset people of Israel had. It's almost, again, it's identical as in America. They did whatever right in their own eyes. There is no absolute moral. There's no absolute right or wrong. Become hazy now. Verse 7. At this point, we will never finish this book. Now there was a young man from the Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, was staying there. And man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. And he came to the mountain of Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I am Levite from the Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance." So the Levite went in. The Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated Levite, and the young man, underline, consecrated Levite, please. Young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. And Micah said, "Now," again on the line, "now," from there, "I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest." This young Levite who lived in Bethlehem is not one of the Levite city. Each individual tribes, 11 tribes, are supposed to have a town dedicated for the Levites where they can stay supplied with all the food and other things supplied by the rest of people in that each tribe. Levi is not supposed to have a job. Their job is worshiping God, leading people to Christ, to God, not Christ. And that's the reason why they didn't have an allocation of the land. This man, young Levi, instead of staying in the Levi town, and went to the Bethlehem. Why? Because obviously he couldn't make ends meet in whatever the town he is supposed to stay. Folks, one of the first evidence of the declaration and the downslide of, I can't remember that word, downslide of the spiritual condition is giving for the work of God. When this thing starts to slide down, you can see that pretty much the spiritual condition is going down the hill. As a matter of fact, last few years, it's been going down. Not in our church. But overall, in general, donation for the nonprofit organization in America has been heading down. Inflation is going up, but the rest of the amount is going down the deal. Drain. Why? Because the people spend more money for their pleasure than for the work of God. This young Levite wanted to do, instead of doing what is right in the sight of God, and he just went on. He was a priest for hire. He had a little cardboard box as a walk for food. He's standing on the side of the highway and sticking his thumbs out for any passing cart. "Where are you going?" "I don't know. Wherever you go, I go." And he came to this place in Micah's home, and he became a hireling, not the true shepherd. He didn't serve the true living God, he worked for the Micah and his idol, and he is not the spokesperson of God. He was just doing his job and get paid, and that's, he's a very fine, happy, thank you. This is the same kind of thing happened in America, especially, not just America, in England, and a lot of places in Europe. Protestant church, big cathedrals, now it's empty in Europe. less than 2% of England population are born again Christian. That country used to send out the missionary all over the world. Now they have less than 2%. And these big gigantic cathedrals are empty. And the priests don't care. And the pastors don't care because they get paid by the state. Whether the congregation show up with one person or 4,000 people, he get paid the same amount. More people, less, more headache, less people. Each day is good. Whenever church has hireling, listen carefully, please. Whenever church has hireling, it cannot enjoy the blessing of God. Church needs a true and a faithful shepherd who work for the Lord, not for the personal gain, and then go after the truth instead of trying to get the attention from people or try to gain the favor from people. Let me make it clear to you guys, very clear. I cannot gain God's favor and your favor both. If I make you happy, I will make God angry at me. If I make God happy with me, some of you will not be happy with me. Which one should I please most? You said it, so that's what I'll do. The person who is supposed to be a true shepherd should not look for a career in this position. If God called that person should be in that place. Man is not, let me repeat one more time, Galatians 1:6. Man is not the one who appoints another man to be the shepherd. It is God. Again, from Psalm, God is the one who ordained people. In today's consumer mentality, the self-appointed preachers, apostles, and prophets, and they are the ones who declare themselves as they are the apostles. Apostle office is closed. And if the person said, I'm a prophet, and he declared a prophecy, what are we supposed to do? We examine his prophecy. If that person does not come true, what do? We pick up the stone and stone him to death? No. We just reject him. It becomes like a Hollywood fan club. We chase this person, especially when that person said, a healing crusade. Well, that's fine and dandy. Why do you pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets around all the time? If truly the healing gift is come from God, and they pass the healing gift to other people for free. God will take care of their needs. People like to chase these celebrity preachers. And those celebrity preachers, because their money, they know the money is coming from the people, they try to say the things that is what would please the people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, please. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. I don't know if this one does not prophesy what is happening in America. I don't know what. Let's go there. Take a look at it. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up, underline they, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Did you get that? Let's read it one more time. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desire. Who is they? People. It's not false teachers. There's a demand. Their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up. This is the people will heap up for themselves false teachers. Folks, this is supply and demand. People say, I want to hear something good for myself. So there are people who are hireling will say, oh, you're such a good looking, you're such a good person. God loves you. God is merciful. Whatever you do is wrong. God will say, okay, stamp there, and then go on with your life. Not in this church. Sad part of the story is this, is that Micah thought he's going to gain the favor. Verse 13 we just read in Judges, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 13, we just read that. Now, then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. Well, he has his own private shrine, he has his own private priest. So God should say, ooh, 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 ooh. Not. See, Micah practiced false religion with a false God and sprinkled with a little bit of Jehovah God on top of it, just for good measure. And he has a false confidence in this, his own religion. Okay, he has a false Levite on top of it. So he has all the combination. So he thought, I have God's favor in my pocket. Now God is on my payroll. Wow. Until next chapter, we find him, everything is taken away, then he has nothing. That's a typical end result of a false religion. Verse 1. In those days, there were no kings in Israel. In those days, the tribe of Danites was seeking inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribe of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent five men of the Dan family from their territory, men of valor from the Zorah and Eshtal, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, go search the land. And so they went to the mountain of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of a young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? And what do you have here? He said to them, thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. So they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous. And the priest said to him, underline next phrase, please go in peace. The presence of the Lord is be with you on your way. Instead of submitting to God's will, Dan, tribe of Dan has one particular place where they are supposed to stay. Instead of staying in God's will, what do they do? We're going to look for our own place. Stepping out of God's will. What would that be? That's a bad thing. You step out of God's will, you're asking for yourself in trouble. Oh, do I know that? Because I've been stepped out of God's will so many times, it's not even funny. Whenever I step out of God's will, God said, you come here. Walk into the woodshed. And I get there, then get beat up, and then come back out, and then I go on for a while, and then sidetrack again. You've been there. Some of you have your woodshed with your nameplate on it, because you go there so often. The pass is worn out. It has an automatic door. As soon as you show up, the door opens. Power of modern media is telling us to step, make our own way. Be a champion. Have it your way. Burger King, right? Have it your way. And the Frank Sinatra, his favorite song, I did it my way. Sounds cool, huh? You're the champion of your own course. No wonder why we have a problem. No wonder the world is chaos. Because we try to do everything our way. What's the end result? Horrible. Good example is a beer commercial on TV and a casino commercial on TV. Whenever I watch them, they have such excitement in this beer commercial. Everybody's slim and trim. Everybody's happy. And they never show the one who is stick his head in the toilet bowl and puking his guts out and fall into the ditch or fast slop on the sitting on the couch and drink everything in their sight. How about the casino scene? Everything looks great. Excitement and, you know, excitement, hope, and whatever the phrase they use. Do they ever show the people who blew up their last paycheck? And do they show the people's family's face that they lost everything? No. That's what the devil doesn't want us to know. Remember the lure I showed you last time? People bite that thing, hook, line, and sinker. If the tribe of Danites, these five people, were really seeking for God's will, they would go down to Shiloh and asking them the same question to the high priest, not to this flimsy, self-made priest. Verse 6 shows that these people are spiritually confused. They are asking this man, who would tell anyone any good things so he may gain the favor. This Levite will say anything good to anyone. This shows the confusion in the time of Israel. Since somebody else is paying for the Levi's salary, the Danites ask for what's going to happen to their mission. The sinful Levite is sending out a sinful man in their own way with a false God's blessing. Let's continue in verse 7 of chapter 18. So the five men departed and went to the Laish. They saw the people who were there. They dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no ruler in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians. They had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren of Zorah and Eshtol. The brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate and go. And enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people, a large land, for the God has given it to your hand. A place that where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And 600 men of the family of Danites went from there and to Zorah, from the Zorah and Eshtol, armed with the weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped at Kiriath Jearim and in Judah. Therefore they called that place Mahaneh Dan to this day, and that there it is, the rest of Kiriath Jearim. Then they passed from there to the mountain of Ephraim. They came to the house of Micah. The five spies traveled from it's hard to see it because it's not quite focused. Actually, their location is down here, and they travel all the way 100 miles here. This is Tyre, and here's a Tyre, here's a Sidon. Now, let me bring it down here. You see that place then? It's about 30 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. That place is formerly known as Laish. This is the place where they're going to attack. On the way there, they're going to stop somewhere here at the Micah's home, and the story continues in verse 14. Then five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in this house of Ephod household idols, a carved image and molded image? Now, therefore, consider what you should do." So they returned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite's man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. Then 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate, and the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up, and entering there, they took the carved image and ephod and household idol and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with the weapons of war. when these went into the Micah's house and took the carved image, ephod, and household idol, and molded image, the priest said to him, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be priest to the tribe and the family of Israel, family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, household idols, and carved image, and he took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, "What ail you that you have gathered this such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests that you have gone away, and now more do I have. How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" What ails you? Duh. And the children of Israel said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest the angry man fall upon you. You lose your life and with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. This is a strange combination: low morality but strong religious feeling. Remember L.A. riot, 1990? One particular TV reporter met the three looters coming out from the store. They just stole the stuff. And this two of them, he tried to stop them and asked them, "What were you stealing? What were you looting?" And, of course, they said a blankety, blankety, blankety word, and then they took off. And third guy said, "Oh, I got this, I got some gospel music. I love Jesus." And he took off. Strange combination, right? They have a low morality, but yet they are willing to go for the strong with a strong religious feeling. Levi did not care about Micah. All he cared about his position and what he's getting out of from new employer. And this kind of gives me the pathetic irony here. Micah was chasing after his people, children of Danites. For what? So he can get his gods back. What kinds of gods he has that he cannot protect himself, so the follower had to go after this god and rescue God. And you worship that god? Wow, what a concept. Hideyoshi is a Japanese warlord who ruled over entire Japan in around the late 1500s. He spent 5 years, a massive amount of money with 50,000 people every year for 5 years, and he wanted to build this colossal size statue of Buddha. And that's supposed to be inside this gigantic shrine, gigantic temple in Kyoto. Kyoto is a very, very beautiful place. 1596, gigantic earthquake came to Japan, and they barely finished this construction. And shrine roof collapsed and destroyed the entire Buddha statue. This Hideyoshi warlord was so mad at this whole situation, and when he showed up in Kyoto area, and he looked at this Buddha, and he drew the arrow and shot it. Arrow to this Buddha, and he shouted to this dead Buddha, "I spent all that money on you to build the great temple and your Buddha statue here, and you can't even protect your own temple." That's the idol. That's false religion. false religion idol, their God is not God at all, as the Bible says. We either worship gods we made after our own image, or we worship God who made us. The God who we make us is, of course, is less than ourselves. In other words, idol worship is, bottom line, is self-worship. Let's continue in verse 27. So they took the things that Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him and went to the Lachish and to a people quiet and secure. They struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with the fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon and they had no tie with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called name of the city then after the name of then their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his son was the priest to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah, the carved image, in which he made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. You might want to jot it down. I don't know how accurate this information is, but Jonathan, the son of Gershom, is a grandson of Moses. Interesting. The grandson of Moses became the idol worshiper, the priest. The city of Dan, the one I just pointed out, city of Dan is the most big, prominent city in the north side of the Israel, territory of Israel. So when some people said from Dan to Beersheba down here, that means from everything from the north to south. That's a common language, common phrase. And people said from Dan to Beersheba, that means everything from north to south. This is the first official idolatry in Israel. Tribe of Dan introduced the first official idolatry to the nation of Israel. It all started from one family, Micah's home. We never know what kinds of effect we make to somebody else. So that is the reason why the Romans 12:1 said we should become living sacrifice and present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And do not conform to the world, but transform into the image of God by renewing our heart. Let's make applications. Number one, whenever the church has a hireling, it cannot enjoy the blessing of God. The church needs a true, faithful shepherd who works for the Lord, not for the personal gain. Second application, we need either worship God, a God of our own making, or we worship the true God who made us. But God, the gods we make are always less than we are. Idol worship is just another way of worshiping ourselves. You may say, well, none of us worship idols. Whatever replaced Jesus in our lives is an idol. It can be yourself, it can be your wife or your husband, or it can be your job, or your savings account, IRA, you fill in blank. Or even ministry. Let's be careful. We have one true God who made us. Everything else is not God. Let's stand up and pray. Are we banging?